Our lesson this morning will be on the adoration of the wise men. And it's a subject that we've looked at before, and as you know, there's so much misunderstanding with regard to the birth of Christ and the things that are taught around that are really not scriptural. And why is that true? Well, it's because people do not know their scripture. Even some of the hymn writers, didn't know their scripture that well. And tradition over time allows errors to creep in to this truth. Unintentional for the most part, but nevertheless devastating because the truth is compromised. Let me give you an example. We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we travel afar. What's wrong with that? Well, the scripture doesn't say there are three kings. As a matter of fact, the scripture doesn't even say they're kings. The scripture says they are wise men. And that's a perfect example of some of that which we understand with regard to the birth of Christ. It only says that they're wise men, that they came from the east to Jerusalem. Tradition has drummed up three because they had gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's how we transferred over to three. So this morning I want to do a little bit of groundwork and plow through some of the traditions that are actually not scriptural and take what I describe as a circuitous route to the wise men. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. Here in this 19th chapter of the book of Psalms, we find the heavens and their inaudible words corresponded with written word. Let's look here at the first verses of chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit into the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. God's wonderful plan for the ages has been written there in the heavens, in the stars, preserved there and untouched by man, incapable of altering the story. I just saw on the news this week where somebody out in Hollywood says, well, it's time to update the Christmas story. You know, God shouldn't have been born in a manger anyway. Let's put him in the Trump Tower or somewhere like that. Let's redo the story. And I thought, wow, you know. And by the way, there's a new song that said, I just heard here recently, it says, where else would a lamb be born? And that's true. The Lamb of God could have only been born there in the lesson that we talked about last week in the manger. By the way, it's nice when the reader can correct the Greek when he gets there. So, verse 6 and 7, 2,500 years between Adam and Moses, there was no written word. Just think of that. For 2,500 years, man, all he had was the knowledge that was there, described here in chapter 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, day into day. There's course, other scriptures that lead us to the same thing. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Lights illuminates to see and for understanding. Signs, the Hebrew word there for signs is the word oath, and it is equal to, it means things to come. So there in the stars and in the heavens, we have something that was put there. Seasons, the Hebrew word for seasons is moed. It's equal to appointed times. It's what it, if you look it up in the dictionary, appointed times. Not just seasons, but cycles of the equinox that were there. Because the story from Vertigo, the virgin, to Leo, the lion, that is in the equinox, is the story of Christ. We see it in other places. Turn over to Psalms 147. Psalms 147. Verses 4 and 5. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is the Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. What is remarkable with regard to this is the zodiac or the equinox is common to every culture of man, and it's unchanged. It's uniform across the cultures. The Vertigo to the Leo was put there by God, untouched by man, kept by Seth and Enoch. They were the first astronomers. And man is one of the things that's really strange is that man had the names of stars he could not see until ships were good enough to travel around the Cape. Only there were they visible, but yet man had the names of those stars before he could ever see them. Why? Because God gave them to him. He named them. And they're still preserved today. We still are using some 100 of those names in our astronomical study today. More scriptural evidence with regard to this. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Chapter 10 of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, Their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the ends of the world. That's a direct quote from what we saw there in Psalms chapter 19. So, why then were the wise men wise? Turn back to Esther chapter 1, page 656, if you're using a companion Bible. Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1, verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. These wise men were wise because they knew the time. They knew the signs. They knew the things to come. They knew the seasons and the appointed times. Why? Because of that which was written in the stars. They had no other way to know some of these things. And the information passed to them came from Seth and Enoch and Job and Melchizedek, and Moses finally began to write some of it. That's why they were wise. They knew things before the scripture was ever penned. They were looking, what were they looking for then? They were looking for that oath, that Hebrew word oath. What was that? Was the one to come, the one that was to appear in the constellation. Most important, the sign that he was born. They knew apparently that when this star appeared, that that was the signal that the long-awaited king of Israel would be born. So, we pick the story up then in Matthew chapter 2. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Notice it does not say kings, generals, priests. It just says they were wise men. It does not say there were three. We know there had to be two or more, or one or more. Could have been two, but probably if you read some of the Jewish history in the Mishnah, there was probably quite a few of them. Maybe as many as a dozen or more made that trip from Persia. But we assume three because they had gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The question then is, why Jerusalem? If they were so smart, why didn't they show up in Bethlehem? Seems logical that they would, you know, they'd know everything they knew, be in Bethlehem. No, they went to Jerusalem because that's where the king would be. You would think that a king was to be born, it would be in Jerusalem. That's where they went there. By the way, notice that second verse there. Where is he? I think we've talked about this before. Where is he? That's the first question in the New Testament. As opposed to the first question in the Old Testament is what? Adam, where are you? God searching for man. Now here in the New Testament, it's reversed. It's man searching for God, whom they saw was born there in the stars. So these wise men, they show up there at the palace in Jerusalem because that's where you would assume the king would be born. And of course, Herod, you know, he was scared out of his wits when the gatekeeper probably came and said, hey, there's some guys out here in camels from Persia and they want to know where the new king is. He probably had heard something about this. Because if you notice later on, he sends them down to Bethlehem. There's probably some rumblings down there. He was going to send them down there. So it worried the heck out of him. Let's look at the next verses, beginning with verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So that's a quote. This birthplace was told 617 years before the event. Turn to Micah chapter 5, page 1257 in your companion Bible. Micah chapter 5. Prophecy, 617 years before the birth of Christ. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he, come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. And there are some 14 other prophecies just like that. We won't go through them with regard to the birth of Christ. In fact, I think in the past maybe we did go through each one of those and look at each verse. Well, the wise men, of course, being from Persia, they didn't have what had been prophesied. I'm assuming that Micah probably had been penned at that point, but the wise men, they wouldn't have privy to that, so they went where they thought that the king should be, and that would be in Jerusalem. Now, some of you might be thinking, "Well, I thought the star led them." No, that's not correct, and we're going to see that in a minute. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7. Then Herod, when he had privy, called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for me the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Notice he said child, not baby, because they know, you know, they had told him they had seen the star a long time before. What they saw the star that told them the king had been born. And you read that they followed the star. That star they did not follow. You have to have a sextant to do that. They saw the star. They knew where to go. They went to Jerusalem. But when they left, it says the star that they saw went before them. Therefore, it was not an astronomy phenomenon at that point. It was what? It was the Shekinah glory that they followed from Jerusalem to where the babe was, the child was, not the babe, where the child was. Why did it not take them to Bethlehem? That Shekinah glory that they saw was the same thing that Moses saw at the burning bush. It was the same thing that Paul saw on the Damascus Road. It was the same thing that was in the tabernacle by day there in the Old Testament. And fire at night around the tabernacle. It was on the mercy seat in the tabernacle. It was the Shekinah glory of the Lord that they followed to Nazareth, not to Bethlehem. Turn in your Bibles for some evidence of this. Turn to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. And then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went forward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. It was too bright to look upon if you were very close to it. Turn to Joshua chapter 3, page 294. Joshua chapter 3. And beginning there in the third chapter of Joshua, we'll begin with verse 3. Here's some more about that same thing. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. By measure, come not near it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And then over in verse 11. I believe it's verse 11. before the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. 2,000 cubits, you know how far that is? It's a mile and a half. That's how far back they could still see this, what was the Shekinah glory. It was the glory of the Lord that was in the tabernacle on the Ark of the Covenant. It's what Moses saw in the burning bush, Paul on the Damascus Road. That's what the wise men followed when they left Herod. And strange, as I said, it led them to Nazareth. Nazareth is 75 miles north of Jerusalem. Bethlehem is about 4.5 or 5 miles south of Jerusalem. They were traveling almost by what we would GPS. I mean, they had a guide to guide them to the proper place. And Tim stopped just one verse short of a verse that I want to read, if you'll turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 22. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then in verse 39, and when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee and to their own city, Nazareth. Now you can go back and read that according and see what the law was, but her purification was to take place in the event of a boy child or a girl child was somewhat different, but it's 41 days of time. But anyway, whatever, she goes, they go to Nazareth. They don't go back to Bethlehem. So turn back now to Matthew chapter 2 again, looking at verses 10. Verse 10, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. These are the wise men. And when they were coming to the house, now it's not the stable, it's a house, they saw the young child, it's not a babe, it's a child, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The words here, child, is paeus. It's a different word than babe, which is briefus. And as you know, the scripture is always very accurate in the words that it used, particularly when you're looking at the Greek. It was a child, a young child, paeus. Not what we read in Luke that uses the word briefus, a baby. The gifts were gold, signifying royalty. And by the way, it's probably that gold that enabled them to pick up and take off for Egypt, because Herod was going to eventually find out that he killed all the children in Bethlehem, and he's probably going to start looking around the rest of the nation for that child that was born. So they went to Egypt. This gold probably came in very handy for them to travel down there. Frankincense, which is a sweet-smelling savor, myrrh, which was actually a medicine that was used at that time. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. That's quoted from Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. 687 years before, it's prophesied that when the Lord called he would come from Egypt. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, because they never came back. Once they got to Nazareth, they headed on north back to Persia. He's now south of Jerusalem killing children in Bethlehem. And when Herod saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. The wise men arrived somewhere between 1 and 2 years after the birth of Christ. And as we mentioned, the signs here of a child in a house rather than a manger and a stable and so forth. The wise men were from the Persian Empire. Probably around 1,500 miles they traveled. And even if the star would have appeared at the moment of birth, it would have taken them a long time to get there. And of course, it's possible they might not have noticed the star in the constellation immediately. I mean, maybe they didn't see it for a month. I don't know. Maybe 6 months. But they knew, and they were obviously looking for it. So, with all of the holy days that they could not travel, it's been calculated that it would probably take them by camel, probably somewhere between 1 and 2 years, probably around a year and a half to travel that distance by camel. And I look at the wise men. They were not only wise, but they were faithful. I mean, just think of that, traveling a year to go see this king that was born, and then turn around and have to travel another year and a half to get home. They may have been gone 2 to 3 years just to go and worship this child that was born. So Herod killed children in Bethlehem and the coast and other places. Jesus was in Egypt. But had been, of course, in Nazareth. The wise men traveled under very poor conditions. I don't know if you know about the desert over there, but a desert experience is hot. You just don't make a whole lot of headway. Water hole to water hole to worship the Son of God. Some 1,500 miles on a camel, I have an idea you'd be pretty sore when you got there. Why? They knew this was the ultimate gift to man. It was in the stars. God himself, in the form of man, coming because he loved us, coming for the redemption of man, coming to seek and to save that which is lost. So this Christmas season, I hope we are all giving adoration for that he has done. Do you, in fact, believe who he said he was? Or was he the biggest fool that ever walked the face of the earth? I think you've all decided that in your minds, lest you wouldn't be here. But it's the single most important question that man has to answer. And it's obviously the adoration of the wise men. They knew that it was the living Son of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your written word. We're grateful for the understanding that we can have because it lends credence to our faith. How grateful we are for this one babe that was born there in the manger for the salvation of each one of us. How we thank you for him. We thank you for the understanding that we have. Pray that you would continue to open our eyes that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. For it's in your Son's name, Christ Jesus, that we pray. Amen.